This is a Christian Science extemporaneous treatment, which is posted on the website mbeinstitute.org. MBE is an abbreviation for Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy was the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, which includes the system of divine metaphysics and can be learned and practiced by any sincere student of truth. The purpose of a Christian Science treatment is to transition one's consciousness from a material basis to a spiritual basis, or from whatever level of spirituality one's consciousness is adhering to a higher level of consciousness. Another way to state the objective of Christian Science treatment is as follows. Treatment is for the purpose of assisting in watching and praying for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. The last statement is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, chapter 14, entitled Recapitulation, and it is from the final paragraph of that chapter. This is the end of the introduction. DNA. According to lifescience.com, it is defined as a molecule that supplies the genetic instructions that tell living creatures how to develop, live, and reproduce. DNA can be found inside every cell and is passed down from parents to their offspring. The text just quoted was published March 25, 2021. The website of mbeinstitute.org, under the author Dr. Albert Einstein, physicist, is quoted as stating the following in 1954. Do you people realize what a wonderful thing you have? To think that a woman who knew this over 80 years ago, referring specifically to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy and to Mary Baker Eddy herself, he continues with this statement, blessed art thou, because everything that really is in this book. He further stated as follows, Christian Science is demonstrable. It is a science that can be proven. Einstein was genuinely humble and admitted when he saw Christian Science demonstrated it was certainly scientific in principle and was effective when applied scientifically. Thus, Einstein began to read Mrs. Eddy's writings with new wonder and an open mind. His discussions were far apart from human and scientific ties of the past. He had bridged the gap from physics to metaphysics in his own intellectual approach to Christian Science, often using scientific statements he had learned from reading and studying Mrs. Eddy's writings. Einstein had witnessed several healings, short of miraculous, he said. He stated that Dr. William Frederick Underwood had healing of effects from radiation exposure while he was working on the Atomic Energy Commission. He was the only one that survived. So, whereas Dr. William Frederick Underwood was with a group of scientists that were working on this Atomic Energy Commission, out of the entire group, Dr. Underwood was the only one that survived. And it was attributed solely to his practice of Christian Science healing. That was one of the primary things that sparked the interest of Dr. Einstein. And from his serious study of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, reinforced by his friend's complete healing from the effects of radiation, enabled Dr. Einstein to make these emphatic statements with strong and complete conviction that they were true. Frederick L. Rawson, who was one of the most successful individuals involved in bringing about many, many healings through the practice of Christian Science, was an expert on both electricity and chemistry. His first exposure to Christian Science was as a result of being hired by a local newspaper in London, where he was residing at the time, who employed him to research Christian Science, because there had been reports of a number of people being healed, and the newspaper wanted to find out if this was true. And they knew they could rely on Mr. Rawson because of his reputation as being a very thorough individual in solving problems for people that were trying to find solutions for things that had to do with chemistry and electricity. So he approached Christian Science without any information or any knowledge about it whatsoever. And from a standpoint of his background in the physical sciences, he gained confidence about Christian Science by his own research and testing to see if certain things would work in the practice of Christian Science. And as each thing did work, then he would gain greater and greater confidence that what he was dealing with was fact and not fiction. Not theory, but a provable science. If, as Dr. Einstein stated, principles were followed in a scientific manner. And that's what Mary Baker Eddy refers to in Science and Health, Chapter 6, entitled Science, Theology, and Medicine, and it's under the section on science on page 146, beginning on line 31, under the title of Reduction to System. She states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, of course, that would be easy to label the problem that Dr. Underwood had with radiation. And back in those days, they may not have even had a name for it. But of course, the name is not important anyway. But the whole idea of the term disease means to be at dis-ease. In other words, there is a discord that is interfering with one's well-being. It could be named sin, sickness, death, or anything in between. It can have to do with an individual, an event, a relationship, a problem in any kind of activity one is involved with. If it is not smooth and operating successfully, then there is a dis-ease or discord involved. One of the primary keys with Christian Science is to understand that it is not a theory, it is not some philosophical idea that comes today and is gone tomorrow, but it is something that has proven itself. It is not only not dependent upon a personality, but must exclude personality for it to be effective. Probably one of the most difficult things for Dr. Einstein to come to terms with was his life had been studying about matter and the relationship between different forms of matter in his physical work in physics. And here, Mary Baker Eddy discovered, as he stated 80 years ago, and that's from like 1954, so he's referring to about the year 1866 when she discovered Christian Science, which would have been 88 years from when he made the statement. So he very likely was just rounding off the number. Of course, in the research on breaking down the atom to its smallest element, the final conclusion from the physicists that were involved in that was that it involved the consciousness of the observers. From a physical standpoint, they looked to quantum mechanics, which referred to energy, that what one was observing was energy that was vibrating or rotating at a high rate of speed. The bottom line is that there was an admission from the scientists that it was not what is called matter. It was not something that was opaque, something that you could feel, touch, smell, hear any sound from, or see anything. Another word on Mr. Rawson. First of all, the link to each of these authors is provided as a part of this presentation. And if you observe the index to Mr. Rawson, you will discover that he was a tremendous researcher and wrote a book, which I call an encyclopedia from A to Z, the title of which is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, which includes 1,315 treatments, very short ones, names the ailment and the counterfact, and the basis on one to develop their own treatment utilizing those important pieces of information. He also discovered how to have a treatment with retroactive healing. In other words, overcoming space and time and having the healing effective at the time that the individual was seeking Christian Science treatment. One very interesting development that one should be aware of is that back in the day that Mary Baker Eddy was able to found Christian Science throughout the world, it attracted the best thinkers and the most educated people of all time. And remember, she discovered, founded, and led the movement on Christian Science at a time when a woman could not vote or own property. And of course, in Jesus' time, the women were not counted of the group that attended his sermons on the hillsides. They counted the number of men of 4,000 in one group, 5,000 in another, and then they said, plus women and children. So women have not had a standing for most of the generations of humankind. Not only did she turn upside down the belief throughout human records that matter is real, but she did it at a time when a woman was not even respected. Where do we begin trying to piece this puzzle together whereby on the one hand, all of life experience for humanity has been based on the belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter, and that it is controlled by a brain or mortal mind, something that is mortal and material and not spiritual. And then Jesus comes along and defies the necessity of a man being involved to bring forth a child, and he heals everything that he's confronted with, that supposedly, in many cases, was considered incurable. However, it apparently was not his calling to explain how he did it, whereby it could be learned and practiced according to a principle that would make it available to everyone. Like mathematics and music. It doesn't matter what your race is, where you are residing, anything to do with your personal life that has any impact whatsoever on the principle of mathematics or music. I was good friends with a fellow who happened to be an Italian, grew up in Italy, and he was an expert pianist, and he learned without sound. And by that, what I mean is he had a piece of heavy paper and a piece of wood, like plywood, that he carried with him. And when he was traveling, like on a train or whatever, he would lay the wood on his lap and spread out the heavy-duty paper, which was had an image of a keyboard on it. And that's how he would learn to play the piano. But the principle was there. He didn't need sound, but the principle of music was there, omnipresent. Same with the principle of mathematics. 2 times 3 equals 6, no matter whether you're in South Africa or in the Arctic, whether you're in the United States or halfway around the world, whether you're underwater or on top of a mountain or up in the sky, in a rocket or on another planet. It was apparently not the duty of Jesus to deliver the principle that he practiced. He obviously knew it very well, for he was successful whenever anyone was receptive. In fact, he instructed his disciples to not try to teach people who were not receptive. And Jesus himself stayed away from Galilee because he knew he would be thought of as being a carpenter or a boy and wouldn't have the respect that would be needed for ones to be receptive to what he would be willing to teach them. And of course, in the end, everyone is working out their own salvation, just as Jesus proved when he was at the cross. He had a handful of people. That was it. Out of all the thousands, if not tens of thousands of people that he taught, only a handful of people showed up. The one thing that was very clear about Jesus, even though he didn't give us the principle and the system of how to perform the healings that he was involved in, he did leave one very emphatic thing to remember, and that is that God is love. And that is where we begin. That's the standard. In Signs and Health on page 2, Mary Baker Eddy states, and that's the chapter on prayer, she says, God is love. Can we ask him to be more? God is intelligence. Can we inform the infinite mind of anything he does not already comprehend? Do we expect to change perfection? Shall we plead for more at the open fount, which is pouring forth more than we accept? The unspoken desire does bring us nearer the source of all existence and blessedness. So that's one thing we know for sure from Jesus, because if anything, he was a perfect example of love. The people that were arresting him, Peter cut the ear off of one of them. Jesus healed it instantaneously. Said, put up thy sword, Peter. When Mary Magdalene came to visit the home of apparently a very wealthy and respected man by the name of Simon, the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus to come there. Jesus did not shun Mary Magdalene, even though her former profession was not one that was respected. But she came there with such a humility and love that he knew that she had already transformed her thought. And she was ready to be in attendance with the greatest man that Mary Baker Eddy stated has ever trod the globe. Everyone else at the home shunned her, wondered, well, why would Jesus even let her near him? And yet she was the one that thought of the kindness and caring to wash his feet. Probably had been walking on a dirt road, and his feet were in need of cleaning, which was a common custom in those days when one was a guest of another person's home. They would provide the cleaning of their feet. And Simon didn't even arrange that for Jesus. And it was Mary Magdalene who performed the task. And she was one of the few that attended the crucifixion, still not giving up on Jesus. And of course, all of the disciples that were not loyal to Jesus, which was 11 out of the 12, John being the only one that was, all came to a violent death. And just as an example of their disloyalty, Jesus was only in the tomb for 3 days. And while he was in there, it was even a weekend. You know, from Friday to Sunday, it was even a weekend. And they were out fishing already. It's like they already gave up. Like they learned nothing. And that's, of course, when he told them to cast their net on the right side. This had nothing to do with direction of where the net was in relation to the boat that they were in, but it had to do with where their consciousness was. Get it off of matter and onto spirit. Mary Baker Eddy tells us on page 275 in Science and Health, chapter 10, entitled Science of Being. She says, spirit is the starting point. The starting point of divine science is that God, spirit, is all in all, and that there is no other might nor mind, that God is love, and therefore he is divine principle. And heredity, and about life being predetermined, she states on page 468 in the chapter 14 entitled Recapitulation, she asks the question, what is the scientific statement of being? and she answers it. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. If someone tries to influence, everything is determined by a so-called DNA, think to yourself. D means to deny, because it is not applicable. DNA, deny, not applicable. And think about the scientific statement of being that was just reiterated. Do you think Jesus was concerned about DNA? He had one father, mother, and it was God. In fact, when family came to one of his speeches and they wanted to enter, they said, "Your mother and father are here." And he said, "Who is my mother and who is my father?" On that same vein, on page 465 in Recapitulation, just prior to the definition just read to you about the scientific statement of being, Mary Baker Eddy says, "What is God?" And the answer, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. How could God be corporeal? How could God be a man? How could Christ Jesus be God? God is incorporeal. Jesus came from a woman's womb. Could God come from a woman's womb? This is all a fraud which came from the Council of Nicaea. And thank you to Dr. Robert Putnam for writing a book about the Council of Nicaea. This was back at AD 325. So for all of the Dark Ages, in fact, that's what Dark Ages were, confusion about Christianity. That's where they determined at that council in 325 AD what would be and what would not be Christianity. They took out the Christ. They took out the healing. They gave the power to man to forgive. And they collect money for it. They think a man should be considered God. It was all a business proposition. Money, money, money. the motive of so many that profess to be religious leaders. It doesn't matter what the name is on the door, it's few and far between that one is not soliciting the dollar. Or whatever currency is utilized in the area. Here's a final quotation from page 476, also in recapitulation. So do we give credence to consciousness or DNA? Do we believe Shakespeare, who is quoted at the beginning of Science and Health, where he stated, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so"? Everyone has an individual sovereign right to decide what they want to think of about a so-called DNA. Whether they want to deny it as not applicable, as was suggested in this treatment, or whether they want that to control their every move, their every thought, their every action, and agree with the idea that their entire life has been predetermined and ends in death. Jesus taught that life is eternal. He ascended. No record of John doing anything differently. And others. Various practitioners have been successful in raising from the dead. Mary Baker Eddy, Wentworth Winslow, and others. Mr. Winslow wrote 4 books about God. He dedicated them all to Mary Baker Eddy. One of them is entitled, "Let God Do It." The second one, "God Can Do It." The third one, "God Will Do It." And the fourth, "God Is Doing It." And each one of those are comprised of individual articles. The first one has 36 different articles. The second one, 20. The third one, 35. And the final one, 21 articles. Each article is anywhere from 1 to 2 or 3 pages. It's the kind of a book you could pick up and read one article and feel that you have accomplished something from it, and probably quite a bit of spiritual inspiration. He's an excellent writer, very successful Christian Science practitioner. An understanding that is very clear in his writings. The last one, I believe, was around 1950. But they're timeless. And the last writing from Mr. Rawson is in the early 1920s. It seems like all the really great works were done in many years past. Maybe not all of them, but certainly the lion's share. Okay, the final quotation, as I started to indicate before, is from page 476. Jesus beheld the perfect man. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appeared to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness. And this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. Amen.